Today's shir is Masechta Menachos Daf Samach, and we will begin on Daf Nun Tes Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Amar Rav Yochanan. As we have learned on the previous shir, the Torah tells us that a carbon minchas chayte, or carbon minchas knos, other types of kabanas, are not supposed to have shemen or levaina, oil or levaina on them. Regarding these halachas, Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Amar Rav Yochanan, nasu mashu shemen al gabi kazayis mincha. If somebody even put just a mashu of shemen on a carbon mincha, the halacha is possible. It's very possible. My tama, what's the reason? Explain the Gemara, because the Torah says, Yosim, and when the Torah uses the words Yosim, it means Sima Kaldahu. Even there is the smallest amount, it's already considered that oil has been put on. However, he continues, Aleha Adi Kishura. Even the slightest amount of oil will be Asur, but it has to be put on at least a Kazayis of a Karim Mincha. Although the Minchas Chinuch does point out that if somebody puts some oil on a Chatzi Kazayis Mincha and then afterwards puts some more oil on a different Chatzi Kazayis Mincha, it will combine. Because, and there's no time frame in which it will be Asur, it would make a difference. Because as the Minchas Chinuch explains, this concept that we've learned many times about Kedei Achilas Pras, that something has to be eaten in the Shir Kedei Achilas Pras for it to combine, is only a halacha regarding Achila. But when it comes to other areas of halacha, there is no such designation, and therefore if somebody puts some oil on a Chatzi Kazayis Mincha and then puts some more oil on another Chatzi Kazayis Mincha, no matter how much of a time lag there is in between, there will be, it'll be awesome. This was a halacha regarding the shemen. Now says the Gemara a halacha regarding the levoina. If somebody put a kazayis of a mincha, of levoina on top of even a smallest amount of mincha, pasul. My tama, because here the Torah says the word la yitank siv ad ikinasina. And asina means the amount of a kazayis. And therefore continues the Minchas Chinuch in saying, if one person put on a Chatzi Kazayis Levoina and the other person put on another Chatzi Kazayis, that neither will be Chayif. He does ask an interesting question, what will be the Halacha if one person put on a Chatzi Kazayis, then took off that Chatzi Kazayis Levoina and then put on another Chatzi, put on that Chatzi Kazayis Levoina again? Will those two Chatzi Kazaisim combine? Aleha. But here Aloch is Aleha. Now the Gemara points out, the Torah already said the word Aleha in this pasuk. Lo yitin Aleha Shemen, lo yitin Aleha Levoina. And we have a rule throughout Halacha. Have a ribuy achar ribuy, whenever we have a double ribuy, en ribuy achar ribuy el lamad. And it comes to teach us that even if you put on the smallest amount of a carbon mincha, but you put on a kazayis of levoina, you will be chayif. That's one version of this discussion. But a different version has it as follows. Ikedamri, Om Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Boy Rav Yochanan, Nosen Mashu Shemen El Gav Kazayis Mincha Mahu. What would be the halacha if you just put on a mashu of shemen on top of a kazayis mincha, will be chayif or not? Mi be'inen si'ima k'nesin oloi. Do we require that the Torah uses the words lo yosim regarding the shemen? And since it's in the same pasuk as the word nesina regarding levoina, so must be at least the shear of a kazayis. And if you put anything less than a kazayis of shemen, you will not be chayiv. Eloi, or you will be, even if you put less, you'll be chayiv also for putting on shemen. To this, the Gemara remains with a teiku. Interestingly, Tosfos asks that here the Gemara wants to compare Sima to Nesina, and the sina must always be at least a kazayis. Ask Taisus that we know that the Torah uses the words nesina regarding truma. The Torah says the word titein loy, and by truma we know the halach is chita achas peteres esakri. So we see that you don't need to have a significant nesina. Answer all the mefarshim. There's a difference in hilchos truma. There are two rules. There's one rule of afroshes truma, and as soon as you take off truma, the produce from which you took the truma from is no longer tevel. There is indeed a halacha of chita achas peteres esakri. But regarding the din of nesina, giving, there the halacha indeed is that you maybe have to have a nesina chshuva, which would be at least a kazayis. So our Gemara, at least in the first version of the Gemara, made a nafkamina between shemen and levoina. By shemen, it's adequate if you just put on a drop of shemen. By levoina, you have to put on a kazayis of levoina. Second version had perhaps the same thing should be by shemen, you would have to have a kazayis. Although, the achronim do debate that even if according to the second version, you have to have a kazayis of shemen, and otherwise, if you haven't been over the lav, it still could be, they explained, that the carbon mincha will be disqualified. Because we know that a carbon mincha that doesn't have shemen is called a mincha chareva, a dry mincha. And it could be as soon as you put any shemen on that carbon mincha, it's no longer considered a mincha chareva. And therefore, even if we'll say that you're not over this lav, it may be already disqualified as a carbon mincha. It's a debate amongst the Achronim, the Karanero, over discusses it. But according to the first version, shemen even the smallest amount. So I saw from the Sefer period from the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Rav Shlomo Gansfried, explain why is there a difference in halacha between shemen and levoina. He explained it's based on what we learned in the previous year. In the previous year, we learned that shemen put on a karm mincha, such a karm mincha can no longer be rectified, because the shemen gets absorbed into the karm mincha. Whereas the levoina, it can be scooped up and be saved. So since shemen gets absorbed into the karm mincha, that's why the Torah is stricter that even the smallest amount of shemen would disqualify the karm mincha. And in fact, this concept, that there's a difference between shemen and levoina, the difference between something that gets penetrated or something that's just external, I saw the Mefarshim explain a pasuk in Nach based on this. We all recall that Klal Yisrael comes to Shmuel and asks him, Tnu lanu melech, appoint for us a king. And Shmuel is very upset at them for this request. And the question is obvious. It's a mitzvah in the Torah, Soyim tasam alecha melech, that we should appoint a king. So why is Shmuel upset at them for asking what the Torah says we should do? Say to Mefarshim, because as we just explained, the difference between Sima and the Sina is that Sima means something that gets penetrated, and the Sina is only external. Shmuel saw that they asked Tnu, the word ten. They only wanted a king for external purposes, for the glory, for the honor, but not that there should be a king who should really soil toss and penetrate and be involved and lead them on the proper way. And that's why he was upset. On the same note, I saw that the Baruch Shimon Schneerson, Shabina Rosh Yeshiva, in his Sefer Birchas Shimon, explains that we find that the Torah speaks about Shalom twice. Once is in the Birkas Kahanim, where the Torah says the Yosein B'chol Shalom, and in the pasuk says the Nosati Shalom Ba'aretz. And the question is, why did the Torah use the word here for Nosati and here the word the Yosein? So he explains along the same lines. He says the pasuk of Nosati Shalom Ba'aretz is speaking about Shalom that we will have with our enemies. So he says even if our enemies make peace with us, it's only an external peace, which is good, that they don't fight with us, but they don't really love us. So it's only even a sati, external. However, The Yosem Mechor Shalom speaks about the peace and the achdus that will exist within Klal Yisrael. The Yosem Mechor, that will be a shalom that penetrates into all of us and be a real lasting peace. And in fact, I saw that the Mepharshim explained that that is why when we daven, we say in the Bracha of Al Tzadikim, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the same Tzach HaToiv L'chol HaBoitchem B'Shimcha Be'emes, those who were enumerated at the beginning of that chapter, Al Tzadikim Al Chassidim, who are deserving of Tzchar, we say the same Tzach HaToiv, they deserve a big amount. As Al Gemara says, Titein means Kezayis. The sin, which Al Gemara says means only a Mashahu, we aren't really worthy, but we ask Hashem that we should at least get the sin. We should get a small amount because we should be included with those tzaddikim and chassidim who deserve a big reward. Based on that, I saw the Mepharshim actually point out that in Avodat Tzion we say the yosein belibenu ahavosoi v'yirosoi. But if as our Gemara is teaching us, the word nesina means a large amount, the yosein only means a small amount, it should be more appropriate that we should say the titein b'libeinu avosei v'yirosei. And actually, it's interesting to note that in some other versions of the tefillah, the version of the Rambam, the version of the Abu Draham, they actually have the word the titein b'libeinu avosei v'yirosei, not the yosein b'libeinu avosei v'yirosei. So the Mepharshim asks, if this is the case, that where the Torah uses the words v'yos, v'titein, it means that it has to have a shia nesina, the question that comes up is, when somebody gives tzedakah, is he only mekayim mitzvah tzedakah when he gives a nesina, when he gives at least a pruta? Or is he mekayim mitzvah tzedakah even if he doesn't give a nesina chshuva? It's actually a machlokes achronim. Some achronim indeed want to say that, and Al Gemara bears that out, that since the Torah uses the words nosoin titein, you have to give a nesina chshuva. There are others that say that you don't have to give a nesina chshuva. Avadal chatchila, you should give a nesina chshuva, but even with less than that, you're also mekayim the mitzvah. And in fact, I saw a tshuva from the Beis Yitzchak. It's interesting tshuva. We don't have time to go into the actual tshuva, but he says, and perhaps that's what the Torah means when it says nosoin titein, ein ribuy acharibuy, as we just learned, elo nosoin titein, to teach us that not only is a nesina of a pruta required, but even titein ribuy acharibuy elo mad, that even less than a pruta you can mekayim the mitzvah stoker. Agamar brings down the point of ein ribuy acharibuy el lamad. We've had this concept mentioned earlier. We've quoted the Majid Tzareben, the Sefer Klali Araisa, who says ein ribuy acharibuy. He says if somebody considers himself great, ein ribuy acharibuy el lamad, they mad miyut achamiyut. If somebody considers himself not important, el rabbis, he indeed is important. He also says it regarding learning. Ein ribuy acharibuy. If somebody's constantly learning more and more and never reviews what he learns, el lamad, he will chas v'shalom forget what he's learned. Ben miyad achamiyad. Sometimes somebody takes a step back and doesn't accomplish and doesn't learn that much, but he reviews, ein miyad achamiyad el rabbis. Actually, that learning will be retained. So we learned in the Mishnah, Nosin Shemin al Shira. Tanar Abonim, La Yosim La Shemin, La Yitin al Levoim. Yoch v'shnei Kohanim. We would think that only if two separate Kohanim do this, are they over. Tamaloimer, Begufa Shemincha Kos Medaber, is referring to the Mincha V'loi B'Koy. So Rashi explains the Gemara, that the Gemara is assuming that perhaps only if two Kohanim, one Kohen puts the Shemin, and one Kohen puts the Levoina, only then will they be over. Teaches us the Gemara that it depends on the Mincha, and even if one Kohen does both, he gets both Aveiros. Tosfos doesn't understand Rashi's pshat, because Tosfos asks that why should it be a difference if one kohen does the two yisurim or two kohanim do the yisurim? For every yisur, there's an aveira. So the achronim defend Rashi, because the Torah uses an interesting wording. The Torah could have said, Layitin ala shemen v'levoina. The Torah separates Layosim ala shemen v'layitin ala levoina, perhaps to teach us that only two separate kohanim are over, not one. Tosfos lifts pshat Gemara as follows. Tosfos says that if one person put already on its shemen, we would think that the carbon becomes already disqualified, and therefore if afterwards Levoina is put on it, therefore the second person should not be over. That's why the Gemara teaches us, no, that even if one person put on shemen, it doesn't become disqualified to the degree that if somebody else puts on Levoina, he won't be over the Aveira. However, Rabbeinu Tam actually takes the opposite approach. And in fact, Rabbeinu Tam holds that if one person puts on shemen, then that carbon already becomes disqualified. And therefore, if another kohen will put on levoina, it will not be an aveira. He will not be over the lav. Only, according to Rabbeinu Tam, by two separate carbon mincha, or by one carbon mincha, if the person puts on shemen and levoina at the same time, then and only then is the carbon disqualified. There's actually a debate amongst the Poskim, the Achronim, and understanding these two opinions. One question that they discuss is what will be the halacha if the mincha has another disqualification? Not the disqualification that had shemen on it. What will be the opinion of Tosfos Rabbeinu Tam? Will Rabbeinu Tam agree that then there's an issur of Layitin al Shemen and Layitin al Levoina? Or Rabbeinu Tam hold that as soon as the mincha is disqualified, no further disqualification, no other yisurim can be effective on it? Tosfos, who holds that even if shemen was put on the carbon mincha, if you put on it levoina afterward, it's still going to be over the lav. What will be, however, according to Tosfos, if a different disqualification happened to this carbon mincha? Perhaps there, Tosfos would agree that then if you put on shemen or levoina, you will have not been over the lav. Dor Sameach has a different explanation of the Gemara. He says this is the Rambam's explanation, because as we discussed in the previous year, the Rambam says it's not the putting on of the shemen or the putting on of the levoina which causes the aveira, but it's actually the akrova. And that's what our Gemara is teaching us, says the Dor Sameach according to the Rambam. It's not for putting on the shemen or for putting on the levoina that you over the lav. It's only for the mincha, for being makriv the mincha, that's when you're chayiv. Continues the braisa, yocho lo yitin kli agab kli. Maybe if you put a keli that had in it shemen on top of a keli that had on it had in it the kohen mincha, you also over the aveira, you also over the lav, and therefore nothing if you did so. Pasal, you disqualify the carbon mincha, tamaloima, aleha. The gufa shal mincha kos medaber, the pasuk is speaking about the actual carbon mincha, and the pasuk is saying that only if you put shemen or levoina on the actual carbon mincha, anyway else you will not be naveh, over. Our Mishnah now, Be'ezer Hashem, will teach us the halachas of hagosha. The halacha is that in many Karim Minchas, the ones that are actually going to be enumerated now in our Mishnah, there was a din that the Karim Mincha, before the Kmitza was done, according to our Gemara, it seems quite clear, while the Karim Mincha was still in the Keli, the Kli Sharis, it was brought to the southwest corner of the Mizbeach for Hagosha. The halacha is that if Hagosha, even on a carbon, that where Hagosha is supposed to be done, wasn't done, the halacha is that the carbon is kosher. Our Mishnah begins by teaching us, Yesh tunas Hagosha, there are certain karmicha that require Hagosha, Vein tunas tnufa, which will be the subject of the next Mishnah. There are certain karmichas that require Hagosha,
v'tenufa.
The certain karmichot that require, that don't require not tenuf, that require tenufa, and not agasha, and the certain mechas that require like tenufa v'lo agasha neither. Begins the Mishnah, v'eila tunas agasha v'ein tunas tenufa. The Mishnah begins with the karmichot minchas that require agasha and not tenufa. The Mefarshim point out why is this the first rule that the Mishnahis, that this series of Mishnahis speak about. One explanation is because it's the longest list. As we're going to see, most Karban Mincha require Hagosha, and that's why it's mentioned here. Others explain, because just like in the previous Mishnah, we spoke about the Minchas HaSoilus first, so to be consistent, here too, when we speak about the Karbanos that require Hagosha, Minchas HaSoilus requires Hagosha, so that's why it's mentioned first. Minchas HaSoilus, V'machvas V'macheshas, V'chalos V'arakikin, Minchas Koyin, Kohanim, Minchas Kohen Mashiach, Minchas Nochrim, Minchas Noshim, or Minchas Chayta. Says the Mishnah, Rav Shimon Omer, it is the opinion of Shimon, the Minchas Kohanim and Minchas Kohen Mashiach ain't behem Hagosha, don't require Hagosha. Lefish ain't behem Kmitza, because there is no Kmitza done by those Kabbanas, as we've learned so many times. These Karban Mincha are completely burnt in the Mizbeach. And says Rav Shimon, the kasha ein ben kmitza, wherever there is no kmitza, there is no hagasha. Although the Mefarshim point out, the Rishonim Taisus and all the other Rishonim point out, that actually we're going to learn in the Gemara that it's not, in understanding Rav Shimon, it's not because that they don't have hagasha. The halacha is that they don't have kmitza. It's because they're completely burnt. And there would be a nafkamina, because we discussed, and we'll discuss again, if a kohen brings a mincha because he did an aveira for which he's obligated to bring a kohen mincha. So if Shimon's opinion is that kmitza is done, we separate the kohenitz from the rest of the kohen mincha, but the entire kohen mincha is burnt. So if we follow the wording of our Mishnah, where Rav Shimon says it depends if kmitza is done or not. So here we have a carbon where kmitza is done, and therefore it seems that hagosha should be required. If we follow what the Gemara says, that since the entire mincha is burnt, there is no hagosha, that's the carbon mincha that's entirely burnt. But Tosfos and all the other Rishonim point out that it is not, that it's the same Rav Shimon, and clearly it will be the opinion of Rav Shimon that even by the carbon minchas chayta v'kayin, where kmitza is performed, Rav Shimon will agree that in that carbon there is no hagosha. Begins our Gemara in the similar way as the Gemara we learned in the previous year. Amar Papa, kol hecha detanan, esa tanan. Wherever we learn, the two pshatim and Rashi, how to learn this Gemara. The first pshat is, wherever we learn this list, we learn a list of 10 carbon minchas, my kamashmon, which is lafukin Rav Shimon, which is different than Rav Shimon, that somebody could bring a karban mincha, which is half chalas, five chalas, and five rakikin. So now, according to Rav Shimon, there would be an 11th type of karban mincha. Kamash Malan, that our Mishnah that doesn't mention this 11th type, obviously does not agree that such a karban mincha is possible. Another pshat that Rashi quotes is that in all situations, one has to bring 10 loaves for his karban mincha. But according to Rav Shimon, it isn't always that way that you have to bring 10 loaves. Because sometimes you can bring 5 loaves of one, and five chalas and 5 rakikin. Our Mishnah that says you always have to bring 10 loaves is not following Rav Shimon's opinion. So, as we've just learned in our Mishnah, and now the Braisa will expound on it, all the carbon minchas that require Hagosha, the Gemara will not quote a Braisa from which we learn it. It's interesting to point out, the Rambam, when he says that many of the Karban Mincha require Hagosha, he says it's Midrabona. And this is the basis for understanding that many times the Rambam uses something, uses the words that it's the Rabbonon, or uses the words that it's Medivrei Seifrim, but the Rambam doesn't mean to say that it has the status of only a Rabbonon. What the Rambam means to say is that since it's not explicit in the Torah, it's only learned through drasha that the Rabbanim teach us, The Rambam calls that a Drabbanan, even though it's not actually a Drabbanan. So says the Gemara Nanimili, from where do we know this halacha? And Tosis and other Rishonim try to analyze exactly what does the Gemara mean when it wants to learn Nanimili. Clearly, as we'll see in the Braisa, the Gemara is coming to teach us from how do we know that a Minchas Chayte requires Hagasha. But what about all other Karban Minchas? So, some Rishonim say that the Minchas Kohen, Minchas Kohen Mashiach, the Minchas Kahanim, certainly can be compared to the Minchas Marcheshes, where the Torah clearly indicates that Hagasha is required, because since, by the, this is the way the Achronim explain, since that these Kabbanis, there is no difference in the financial status of the person bringing the carbon, unlike the Minchas Chayte, and therefore certainly the halacha is that Hagosha is required by these carbon mincha. Others, however, want to say that the reason we know that those carbon mincha require Hagosha is because the Torah says, Zois Torah HaMincha, Torah Achas L'Kol HaMenachas. The only reason we exclude Minchas Chayte is because since, as we learned in the previous year, the Minchas Chayte, we learned in today's year as well, that the Minchas Chayte doesn't have Shemen and Levina. So since the Minchas Chayte is so very different, that's why we need a special limud for the Minchas Chayte, that it should be brought, that it also requires Hagasha. There are opinions that say that the Gemara's question even applies to Minchas Kohanim as well. The Tanur Rabbanan, the Pasuk says, the Rabbanan says, Ilan Avavisi Ashiyas Me'elo Hashem Rekriva El Koy V'gisha Hayisi Omer She'enli Shetan Hagosha El Koymetz Bovad, that only the Koymetz portion of the carbon requires Hagosha. Mincha Minay, how do we know that the entire carbon requires Hagoshin? Hagasha tamaloy mincha. Minchas chayte minay. How do we know that the minchas chayte requires hagasha? Tamaloy mer es hamincha. So most mefarshim explain, we learn it from the es, ha, that serves us as a limud. The Meshech Chacham explains as follows. He says, we read the entire pasuk, and the pasuk says, as a mincha ashiyasa mi'ela. What is the Torah teaching us? That we have a carbon mincha, ashiyasa me'ela, that only has some of the ingredients that the art of the carbon minchas have, for we just explained, the minchas chayte, unlike all the other carbon minchas, don't have shemen levana, but it does have flour and water, like the other carbon minchas. The Torah is teaching us, even if it has just some of the same ingredients as the other carbon mincha, does such a carbon require hagasha? Ask the Gemara, but why do we need a pasuk to teach us that the minchas chayte requires hagasha? Why can't we learn it v'dinu through logic? Nema hocha, nema have. It says to minchas chayva. The Torah tells us to bring a minchas chayva. V'nema have minchas nedava. The Torah tells us to bring a minchas nedava. Ma minchas nedava tuna hagasha. Should we not learn af minchas chayva tuna hagasha? Says the Gemara, you can't learn from a Minchas Nedava. Because a Minchas Nedava, as we've been saying, Torn Shemen Levina, requires Shemen Levina. Minchas Chayte doesn't require Shemen Levina. And therefore we can't learn Minchas Chayte from Minchas Nedava. Ask the Achronim. We have many times in the Gemara concept, a milsir the asi b'kav achay mitar b'kos l'kra, that something that could be learned logically, the Torah still mentions. So why is the Gemara so bothered with the fact that there's a limud to teach us the din on Minchas Chayte, and even though we can learn it logically? So they explain that if the halacha were, if indeed this logical limud is acceptable, so then we would have a limud through logic coupled with a pasuk, and it would fall into the category of something that shonu of akosav la'akiv, that something that the Torah repeated, and we know by kachim that anything that the Torah repeats twice becomes essential. So now, if the logical limud, as we're going to learn, remains legitimate, it will fall into a category of shana lava kasav la'akiv, and the hagosh would be absolutely essential. Only if the logic kalimud will be refuted, and therefore we'll only have one limud to teach us this halacha, then it won't be essential. So Gemara says, we couldn't learn minchas chayte for minchas nedava, because minchas levina requires shem, minchas nedava requires shem levina, minchas chayte does not. But says the Gemara, minchas chayte tachiyach. Why don't we learn it from the minchas chayte? Ma'am minchas, says the Gemara, we can learn from the minchas chayte, because as we're going to learn, minchas chayte tuna tenufa. That will say minchas nedava tachiyach, but the minchas nedava doesn't require tenufa, but it does require hagasha. V'chaza hadei, lo yizeh krizeh. Minchas chayte is not exactly the same as minchas nedava, because it doesn't have shem levayna. V'lo yizeh krizeh, nor is it like the minchas soite with the din of tenufa. Hatzad ha-shava shavim, but what is the common characteristic? Sheshavu k'mitzah v'shavu k'mitzah. That both the minchas nedava have k'mitzah, both the minchas nedava and the minchas soite half kmitz and half hagasha. Afani, avi minchas chayta, will extend this to say the same in minchas chayta, sheshavla kmitzah, where there too there's a requirement to have kmitzah, and therefore, tishvel and lagasha, we should learn through logic that the minchas chayta should require hagasha. Says the Gemara, mala tzadashavish behed, so we're trying to learn the halacha of a minchas chayta from a common denominator, a minchas chayta, a minchas nedava. But says the Gemara, by those two carbon minchas, she can hukshu lava v'ashik v'ani. The same carbon is brought by a wealthy person and a poor person. Time of minchas chayta. However, when we speak about a minchas chayta, shloi hukshu lava v'ashik v'ani. As we know, a minchas chayta, carbon oil of a yorid, depends on the person's financial status. If he's wealthy, he brings animal. If not, he brings birds. And if not, he brings minchas chayta. So therefore we cannot learn the halacha of a minchas chayta from a combination of a minchas soita and a minchas nedava. That's why we need the pasuk, tamaloymer es hamincha. Rav Shimon oymer, vavesa. The pasuk says the word vahavesa. Vavesa is a mincha shiyas v'el Hashem v'kriva al koin v'gisha mizbeach l'rabbis minchas oymer agosha. It comes to teach us that the minchas oymer requires agosha. V'kenu oymer. And so, does the pasuk say, and the Gemara is trying to say, how we know it's from the word Vavesa? Because the Torah uses the words regarding the carbon oimer and the Michas oimer, Vavesa mis oimer reishis tzirchem el hakoyim. So we see that the Torah uses the word Vavesa regarding the Michas oimer. Retriva, continues of Shimon, Legrabois Michas soita lagosha. That the Michas soita as well requires hagosha, the Kano oimer, ask the Gemara, why do we need a pasuk to teach us that the Michas Soita requires Hagasha? Why can't we learn it through a Kavach Chaymer? Why can't we learn it logically? If the Michas Soita, which doesn't require Tanufa, Tuna Hagasha, as we just finished explaining, Minchas Soita, Shetuna Tanufa, that has a requirement to have Tanufa, Eina Din Shetuna Hagasha, certainly should require Hagasha. Says the Gemara, you can't learn Minchas Soita from Minchas Choita, because Malam Minchas Choita Shetan Bar Chitin. The Minchas Choita comes from wheat, the Minchas Soita comes from barley. Says the Gemara, we'll use the Minchas Ha'aymer Techiah, because the Minchas Ha'aymer also comes from barley. I will say, you can't learn the halacha of a minchas soita from a minchas oimer, because mala minchas oimer she came tuna shemen levina. Minchas soita doesn't. Minchas chayta teichiach, which also doesn't require shemen levina. So we'll learn it from a tzad shava. V'chaza deim, lo rizek rizek v'loy rizek rizek. Hatzad shava shebehen. The common denominator between minchas chayta and minchas oimer, sheshavu k'mitza. The k'mitza takes place. The shovel agosha, and you have agosha. Afani will extend and say that the mincha soita as well, sheshav shalom kmitza, where kmitza is performed, tishvelan hagosha, will require hagosha. And therefore the Gemara is asking, why do we need a pasuk to teach us that the mincha soita requires hagosha. Why can't we learn it logically? Says the Gemara, Ma'ala tzad ha-shavah shebehen, when we speak both about the mincha sa'omer or the mincha sa'ita, shekein lo hukshu lo v'kemach. Does it come from kemach? Taima mincha sa'ita shukshu lo v'kemach. What is the difference between kemach and silas? Most mefarshim explain that kemach is something that comes whole grain, whole wheat. They don't take off the bran. Silas, they took off the bran. Others say it's in the way how fine the flour is. Silas, which is what's used for the mechas chaytei and for the mechas omer, is a finer sifted flour. Kemach is not so fine sifted. And because mechas chaytei and mechas omer are silas, whereas the mechas chaytei is only kemach, so we can't learn the halacha of the mechas chaytei from those minchas. Therefore, tamaloyim v'kriva, that is the way we know that the mechas chaytei requires hagosha. Rabbi Huda omer, Vevesa, the Torah that uses the word Havesa regarding the Minchas Nedava, the Rabbis Minchas Saitel Agasha. That's how we know the Minchas Saitel requires Agasha. The Kevo Omer, Vehavis Karbana Aleha. Comments the Gemara, Av Minchas Omer, when we speak about the Minchas Omer, says the Gemara, according to Yehuda, like Tzricha Kra. There is no need for a Pasik to teach us that the Mechas Omer requires Hagasha, my Tama, Medina Kasya. We can learn it logically. Or my Mechas Chayta. If the Mechas Chayta, Shein Tuna Tanufa, Tuna Hagasha, where Tanufa is not required, still requires Hagasha. So the Mechas Omer says of Yehuda, Shetuna Tanufa, that requires Tanufa, Eino Din Shetuna Hagasha, certainly ought to require Hagasha. That's how we know, says the Gemara, according to Yehuda, that the Minchas Ha'omer requires Hagasha. Ask the Gemara, but how can we learn the Minchas Ha'omer from the Minchas Chayta? Mal Minchas Chayta Shekei Bar Chitin. The Minchas Chayta is wheat, whereas the Minchas Ha'omer is barley. Says the Gemara, Minchas Chayta Techia. The Minchas Chayta comes as well from barley, and it requires Hagasha. It says Mal Mechas Saita Shekein Bar Levara Oven. The Mechas Saita is a very specific type of carbon. It has the ability to check if the woman is or isn't a Saita. The Maskeris Oven He, as the Pasuk says, Mechas Chayta Techiyah. So it says the Gemara. So we can't learn from Mechas Saita to Mechas Omer, but we'll put Mechas Chayta into the mix. And therefore, V'chaz Adei Loi Rizek Rizek. V'loy rizek rizeh hatzad ha-shavu shem sheken shavu k'mitza v'shavu la-gosha af ani avi mechatz ha-omer sheshav shem k'mitza where k'mitza is required tishvam la-gosha it also requires ha-gosha and my parakta and there's no way to refute this limud. Now Rabbi Huda is saying we don't need a pasuk to teach us that the mechatz ha-omer requires Hagasha, because we could learn that halacha from a tzad ha-shava of the minchas chaytei and the minchas saita. Says the Gemara, why Rav Shimon, who did need a pasuk to teach us for mechas omer, why doesn't he agree with Rav Yehuda's approach? Rav Shimon parakachi, ma'al tzad ha-shava shbehen, shekem etzuyu. When we speak about the Minchas Saita or the Minchas Chaytei, those are kabbalas that can be brought every day of the year. Whereas the Minchas Omer only comes once a year, the second day of Pesach. So therefore, says Rav Shimon, because of that, we cannot learn the halacha of the Minchas Omer from the Minchas Chaytei and the Minchas Saita. Rabbi Huda says, no, Adirabba, Hamitzu Yitzvei. We can make an argument that actually the Minchas Omer is more tadir, or equally tadir, to the Minchas Saita and the Minchas Chayta. Hanach zimnit lemishkachas l'klal. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the Siyata d'Shmaya, there's never going to be a Minchas Chayta. People don't do the Aveira. Certainly there won't be a Minchas Saita. But the Minchas Omer must come once a year. So even though those could theoretically come very often, and this could come only once a year, the fact that this must come once a year, and those don't necessarily come once a year, come ever, that makes this, they make them all equal according to Rabbi Yehuda. And in fact, this concept of something is obligated to come, even though it doesn't come often, versus something which is not obligated to come, but could come often, which is considered the more tadir, is very relevant. One question that comes up is if there's a bris on Purim. So what should come? What should be done first? Kriyas Megillah or Mitzvah Smila? On one hand, an argument can be made that the Mitzvah Smila is more tadir, because the Mitzvah Smila could come every day. Mitzvah Megillah comes only once a year. Moreover, the Daki Moshe, quoting the Maril, says that the Mitzvah Smila should be done before Kriyas Megillah, because he explains that the Pasuk says in the Megillah, Yehuda Mais Oyer V'Simcha V'Sasa V'Yikar, and Simcha Zumila, and therefore we should do the Mila before the Kriyas Megillah. In general, he says we should do the Mila right after Kriyas HaTorah, and therefore do the Mila after Kriyas HaTorah before the Megillah. The Dvas, on the other hand, says, no, we should do the Megillah first. Why? The Ritvah says, firstly, because we're concerned that if people will leave the Beis HaKnesses to go to the Mila, they may not come back. He speaks about the concept that the Gemara Megillah mentions a number of times, Enayim Shel Aniyim, the Aniyim count on Mikra Megillah, they don't want any interruption. The Ritvah, therefore, says that Megillah should come before Mila. The Masham, in his Sefer Das Torah, suggests that this question is really dependent on our Gemara. What is considered more tadir? Something that comes more often, the Mila, but doesn't have to come more often, or the Megillah, which has to at least come once a year. He says that therefore the answer to this question would actually be based on the Machlokes of Yehuda and Shimon. Similarly, the Shagas Aryeh discusses the following question, a question that comes up quite often. Person is eating a suda, and he has to say Birkas HaMazon. But by the time it comes to say Birkas HaMazon, he has to say Krishma. When does this come up? If somebody davens early Ma'ariv Friday night, and then he comes home and eats the suda, and by the time he's ready to finish his suda and say Birkas HaMazon, it's time to say Krishma. What should he do? Should he say Birkas HaMazon first or Krishma first? On one hand, argument can be made that Birkas HaMazon is more common because a person could eat a number of times during the day. On the other hand, the argument can be made that Krishma is said twice a day, and you're obligated to say twice a day. You're not obligated to bench twice a day. So the Ashagas Aryeh says that certainly, in this case, Krishma should be said first. Interesting to note, however, that the Shulchan Aruch paskins that if there's a bris on Rosh Hashanah, first the bris milah should be done, and then Tkiyah Shofar. But isn't it the same question that we've been discussing, dependent on the machloikis of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? So some achronim want to say that certainly when we speak about bris milah versus Tkiyah Shofar, it's highly unlikely that there won't be as many bris milahs during the year. We want that there should be bris milah during the year. And certainly the bris milah is considered more frequent than Tkiyah Shofar. And if so, so would certainly be the halacha regarding bris milah and Kriyas Megillah. But when we speak about Krishma and Birkas HaMazon, where Krishma is mandatory twice a day, and Birkas HaMazon is certainly not mandatory twice a day, most people don't say Birkas HaMazon twice a day, there indeed Krishma should come before the Birkas HaMazon.